New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, the Cone Zone meets the Krug Show on a Monday, and Kyle Shanahan just spoke. Fire up the band. There we go. And, of course, we're brought to you by Pig and a Pickle on this side. Pig and a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week. We're also brought to you by BetUS. Are you looking for a new book this football season? BetUS is the answer, and we'll take a look at some of the Monday night games in a bit. But we got a lot to get to, so let's hit the ground running here. Grant's in the house. Grant, good to see you. Kyle just spoke. And, man, nothing ever goes smoothly in 49er land. You knew there was going to be some kind of a surprise. There always is. And sure enough, it started with the very first utterance of Shanahan where he said, hey, the injuries. D. Winters, ankle. Brock Purdy has a back injury, and obviously it's serious because he had an MRI on his back. He got roughed up pretty good yesterday. And then Javon Hargrave, who's, you know, had a good game. If you look at some of his best plays, he had a terrible game. If you look at some of his other plays, he tore his triceps and done for the season unless the Niners make a Super Bowl run. Maybe he could return in late January or early February. Wow. So, before, you know, where do we start right there? I mean, what's more... What grabs you, Grant? Purdy's back injury that we didn't know about, or Hargrave's torn triceps that takes him out for the year?
Let's take it one at a time. Let's start with Hargrave. So last night, we see that clip of him sort of loafing on the field. I think right. In retrospect, it's fair to assume or wonder at least, was he playing through the torn tricep at that point, in which case, got to let him off the hook. I mean, he was playing through a torn tricep. Yeah. But what I do want to say is after the game, Kyle talks about it and says, well, tricep injury for Hargrave, but doctors looked at it and they're thinking it's a contusion. Come out today, it's torn out for the year. Ooh, okay. So it's like there's been this pattern of injury happens and Kyle's like, it's a calf strain with Christian McCaffrey. Actually, it's an Achilles tendonitis and he may not play for a while. With Kittle, it's cramps. Ooh, actually, it's a hamstring injury and he's going to miss a game. Like, there's been example after example of misreporting or underreporting an injury. And then there's like this shocking, like, oh, it's worse than we thought, which brings us to Brock Purdy. Kyle just casually says, oh, and Brock's day to day with back soreness. And that's like, oh, that's nothing. Yeah. Why would you even tell us? I mean, my back is sore. I wake up with a sore back all the time. And he's like, oh, yeah. So the results of the MRI were good. And it's like, he had an MRI on his back? What? You didn't talk about that after the game. What's going on with Brock? So, I mean, it sounds like it's nothing serious, but I thought Hargrave's thing was nothing serious. I thought Christian McCaffrey's thing was nothing serious. So, we got to wait and see with Brock. His back hurts very bad.
I mean, and you know, the escalation of these injuries are always, it's always them downplaying it. Like, you know what? He just gets some of grandma's chicken soup, he'll be fine. Actually, you know what? The guy's got pneumonia and he's near death. You know,
it's like, a strain. It's just, it's sore. It's like they always say it and it's not really an injury. Like, well, if you had an MRI, then is it more than sore? Like, is there something that you're not exactly disclosing?
I mean, what's going to happen Wednesday? You know what? Actually, it's a gangrene infection and he's going to die.
Actually, he has a cracked vertebrae. Like, what? Now, they did say the results of the MRI are okay, so I wouldn't expect anything like that. But if his back hurt that much that he had to get an MRI, I'm thinking it's really stiff today.
We took a lot of hits. I mean, if you watched, Brock Purdy ran for his life in this game. He ran effectively, but he took hits, and the camera didn't always catch him. There were a couple plays that I'm watching the TV copy. There's a couple plays where the ball was thrown downfield, and you can see the Niners on the sideline, Grant, like going, like pointing at, like, hey, they took a cheap shot on the quarterback late. And I don't know if all of those got called. But I think it was a very physical game for Brock, for sure. I'm not surprised at all. I thought there was a chance that he was going to be on the injured list after yesterday, because he just took a lot of hits. There was a lot of guys that put hands on him as he was running around out there.
He dove for that first down. That was an athletic play. Maybe something happened there. And also he had two quarterback sneaks. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of heads and necks and banging on that play. I noticed that in those situations, the Rams never asked Matthew Stafford to do a quarterback sneak. So we've seen quarterbacks get concussions on that play. I wonder if you could get a sore back from a quarterback sneak or two. I don't know. But let's talk about, we don't really know what's going on with Brock. Something to monitor. With Hargrave, he's done for the year. $21 million a year, done. And it's not like, I mean, the Hargrave era with the Niners wasn't great. He might be done as a 49er. His contract's going to get very expensive next year, and he really hasn't lived up to his contract.
He's probably the guy that they would go to as a cap casualty to try to make everything work. I you know, who knows, because they don't have backups there. But you know, one more thing on Brock, on one of those quarterback sneaks, there was one of them where he did get his helmet kind of twisted, and when he stood up, he kind of like twisted his helmet, and you kind of I wonder if he got something jammed on that one. As far as defensive tackle, Hargrave was a terrible decision. I mean, if this is the end and we never see Hargrave in a Niner uniform, that was a horrible decision. Now, I liked it in real time, so I'm not second guessing it, but it's clear now that it was a horrible decision. They went for a guy who rushes the passer. They got rid of all of their run defenders: Jimmy Ward, Emmanuel Mosley, Azeez Al-Shaair, Hassan Ridgeway. You know, they kissed off like five, Samson Ebukam. They kissed off like five good run defenders for this guy who doesn't play the run all that well, brought him in, and they haven't played the run particularly well since he's been here. And he hasn't had the impact as a pass rusher he had in his two previous stops. So I think that was not necessarily a good move. It got hailed as a good move, and in theory, I love the idea of a pass rushing tackle, but granted, it has not worked out.
No. Thank goodness, though, they signed Jordan Elliott, because without him right now, what would they do at defensive tackle? They'd be starting Kevin Givens, who is a backup defensive tackle. So at least the Niners, they should be okay. That's the thing. It's like Javon Hargrave goes down. Frankly, he hadn't been making much of an impact anyway. Is he better than Jordan Elliott at this point in their careers? I don't know. Maybe. And then Kalia Davis comes back. Maybe he'll give him something. But to me, like, this is no excuse for the 49ers. It's an injury. That's not why your defense was struggling with Javon Hargrave. There is something much worse, bigger going on with this defense. And I think we got to look at Sorensen, Staley, that combination. Like, they're running this. I mean, it seems like they're running Sorensen's defense, which is Pete Carroll's defense, which is the most outdated. I mean, Seattle doesn't even run that anymore. Why are the Niners, they're last in the league in blitz rate? It's the most vanilla defense. It doesn't make any sense. It seems like they made a miscalculation with that one, which is strange because Kyle's usually good at picking coaches.
Well, I mean, they've made some bad personnel decisions on defense, and then in the offseason, and then they make those decisions worse by sticking with those guys at the cutdown when all evidence says they shouldn't. Example: last year, Oliver, he got a roster spot. DeSean Jameson did not. That was not smart. This year, they cut Jalen Graham. They gave a roster spot to Devondre Campbell. That was not a good decision. If you look at Campbell's numbers, he looks terrible. He can't cover anybody right now. He's there right now. Devondre Campbell is a major, major liability in coverage. So I don't know what to say exactly about their situation, but it seems like there's been a couple situations. I mean, not having Dre Greenlaw, I mean, what a massive loss. I mean, that's why there was even a Dre Greenlaw question today When's Dre coming back? Because they need him, because they don't have anybody else.
And his answer was like, I don't know. Not anytime soon.
Right.
One thing real quick. So we're talking about Sorensen as being a mistake. This is Kyle's guy. I mean, this is a player's guy. This is someone they wanted. They ran with Steve Wilks out of town, even though his defense was third in the league in points allowed. You know who we went after today, who we threw under the bus today on the conference call, who we named, who we called out? The special teams coordinator. He said, you know what? Our special teams just weren't prepared. He said that. So I think that's interesting. Like, yeah, sure, they weren't. And maybe firing the special teams coordinator will show like you're holding, you know, holding someone responsible, taking accountability. But I don't think that's going to satisfy fans and the ownership. Like, we got Schneider out of here. It seems like special teams have been an issue for Kyle Shanahan since he's got here. He's never really had a good returner or good coverage units. It's something he doesn't take much interest in. And even said in the thing today, like, I just don't want him to mess it up.
Right.
Like, forget making plays. I just want him to not mess it up. Like, well, if that's the attitude, they're going to mess it up.
Well, I mean, how many times can you, you know, I mean, it's like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And it's like, and the Niners will have shitty special teams. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's Hightower or if it's Schneider. Doesn't matter if they invest picks or draft capital. They just are bad on special teams. And I understand what he's saying with, you know, hey, I don't want to. He basically said, I don't care about winning games on special teams. My whole mindset with special teams is don't lose the game on special teams, which is why Trent Taylor's here and why they sometimes get into the super, super conservative mode. But, you know, they're bad. They're bad on special teams. You know, third round kicker doesn't make long kicks. Kyle claimed that he knew the fake punt was coming, and yet he didn't have his defense out there. So did he outfool himself? I mean, does he prefer his special teams to his defense? I mean, what? How could you say that you knew that was coming if you had your special teams out there? You know, and then the missed tackle on Mustafa, and there was one other missed tackle on the punt return. But, I mean, Mayoko asked the question. I thought Kyle got really, really aggressive at the end of the game compared to the way he is at the end of halves sometimes with, you know, their decision to kind of go for it at the end of the game and not play for the overtime. I'm not saying they should have played for the overtime, but it was an aggressive move, and they wound up giving the ball right back to the Rams, who went right up top, and that was it. Ball game. Thanks for coming.
You know, I think it's funny. I think Kyle's in a very interesting portion of his tenure, and I don't think he quite understands where he's at. I think fans are really angry with him, more than they ever have been. They're not blaming the quarterback like they used to blame Jimmy. Brock's doing well. It's not Brock's fault. And they're not blaming Brian freaking Schneider. A lot of Niner fans don't even know who that is. They're blaming Kyle. And I think they would really like Kyle one of these days to come out and be like, you know, this one's on me. This one's on me. This team wasn't prepared like it should be. My team has a higher standard. Say something. Don't say our special teams needs to be better prepared. Like, no, the whole team needs to be better prepared, and that's on me. If he would do that, I think it would go a long way. But he won't. And I think fans are getting a little annoyed with that.
Well, okay. They would do it. If by chance the offense was the real problem this week and he was backfire on special teams to shield himself from criticism, then I think fans would light him up. But if you said to me, give me the number one reason the Niners lost in this game against the Rams, I would put it on the defense, and then I would put it on the special teams, and I'd put it on the offense third. In this,
right? Game. But he's not the offensive coordinator; he's the head coach. He hired Nick Sorensen. He fired Steve Wilks. He hired Brian Schneider. Like, he needs to own it as the head. I feel like he likes to take credit for things, but when things go wrong, he's like, "Hey, I'm just the offensive coordinator over here." Like, no. Take credit for everything. This is your operation. You're the general manager too.
Yeah. No, and I would say if you said to me, "What's really wrong with the Niners?" I think it's the personnel. I think Campbell was a bad addition. I think they've made some bad decisions as far as personnel. And when even just at the cutdown, you cut Sam Womack, who's a corner that you drafted, has speed and can play, and you kept Yotam, who the Saints didn't want, and he was just there last year and statistically had a good year. So you always got to wonder when the team that he was at doesn't want him. And now Yotam's getting toasted. I mean, and you got rid of Yotam for, you got rid of Womack for Yotam. That's not looking too good. The Renardo Green, you're not playing Renardo Green. He's probably the only guy corner wise in your secondary that can really run. So, I mean, I kind of question some of the decisions they've made. It seems like they've made some decisions in the offseason, and then they've made the decisions at the cutdown to kind of protect the, you know, their drafting. And like Ronnie Bell, I mean, what's, you know, I mean, I hate to say that, but what's Ronnie Bell doing right now? He's a redundant part.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think the Niners losing to the Rams means for the future?
As far as
is it just one loss and it's and you know the Niners had some injuries and it doesn't really matter, or does this indicate to you that something, that trouble's brewing, that they're not going to make it as far, that they're no longer contenders? What does this loss mean to you for the future?
That's a good one. I you know, if I was in Vegas right now, I would bet on Green Bay. Green Bay is going to have Love coming back. Their defense is playing well. They got a bunch of young talent. They seem to have everybody going in the right direction. They picked up a quarterback who can play until Love comes back. I mean, the Niners are the offensive line. McKivitz just is got worked. Brendel's struggling. They have no speed at wide receiver, and they don't have any speed on the back end. We've just seen teams go over the top on the Niners 2 weeks in a row, and they get no answers. So I don't think they've got the right mix defensively this year. I think if everybody gets healthy, and that's a big if too. It's like, we haven't talked about McCaffrey, but that was the other major news today. McCaffrey is headed to Germany to visit with an Achilles specialist. That doesn't sound good. I mean, if you're getting on a plane and jumping across the pond, I mean, you think your career isn't hanging in the balance. I mean, that's what that tells me. I mean, he's not doing that for giggles. He must have severe pain. They must have talked to a bunch of people. He may be looking for answers. It sounds very serious.
Yeah, let's talk about Christian for a minute. I mean, we keep learning. Every time we get an update on it, it's worse.
Right.
Like, hey, it's Achilles tendonitis. Well, that doesn't sound great, but maybe if there's, you know, just a little bit of rest and he'll come back. No, forget rest. He has to leave the country. He has to go to Germany to see a doctor that he can only see there to get what? Platelet-rich plasma, like the thing that Kobe used to do when he was like old. What old athletes have to do to try to turn back the clock. Man, it feels like desperation, like you said, for someone who's afraid that their career is in the balance. That's scary.
Right.
Germany. That's so far.
You know?
They speak German there. That's crazy.
I mean, I mean, that tells you that it's significant and severe. And
like no specialists in the Bay Area could handle this. He had to leave the country. No one around here offered this. Like, that's terrible. That's scary. Yikes.
It is scary.
Platelet-rich plasma therapy. Okay. Good luck. What are stem cells next? What are you going to do next? Yikes.
It is scary. It is scary. I mean, here's the other major problem. The Niners right now they got a good runner in Jordan Mason, but they're facing stacked boxes at the highest rate in the entire league. Kev dug this one up today. Niners are facing 8 defenders in the box, 38.5% of the snaps. That's by far the highest in the NFL. It's 9% higher, Grant, than any other team in the league. So, you know, basically teams are looking at the Niners receivers and going, you don't scare us. You have no speed. You don't have any separation. We're going to put extra defender in the box. We're going to play man to man. And, you know, good luck to Brock finding the open guy.
Wait, you think this is all about the receivers? You think this is all about the receivers?
I don't know if it's all about the receivers. I think it's a combination of they don't block up front. They're not necessarily blocking in the run game all that well, but now they're getting next defenders in the box. Now teams are just daring them, pass the ball on us, and their receivers don't get a lot of separation. I mean, I think the numbers indicate it. Whether Brock agrees with it or agrees with the numbers show that the Niners are getting the least separation of any team in pro football.
Yeah, but Juwan Jennings is playing like an all-pro. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily incredible. The receivers or it's the system. I mean, this is, everyone knows Kyle Shanahan is a run first coach. And if you can shut down his running game and his play action game and get him into a drop back passing game, then you haven't necessarily won, but you've put yourself in the best possible position, because that's the worst part of his playbook, the shotgun straight up drop back passing. So Jordan Mason's a hell of a running back. Brandon Ayuk is clearly not himself yet. And the rest of the league didn't know how good Juwan Jennings is quite yet. So why give them respect when Jordan Mason has been the one kicking butt and Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball 40 times a game anyway, if he can? That's what I sort of see it as. It's like, let's make the Niners play left-handed. And what's crazy about it is, like, they have the quarterback and the receiver. Like, Purdy and Jennings almost single-handedly won that game yesterday. And so if teams are going to keep playing eight in the box, I think Purdy can handle that. It's an interesting decision. Maybe it's a reflection of what people of what teams think of Purdy. Maybe they think he won't throw deep. And he did pass up that deep throw to Ayuk in the game, although Kyle explained it, right? He said that was a busted coverage and it wasn't so simple. Like, he sort of let Purdy off the hook for that one.
He did.
Yeah.
I mean, the Niners are averaging 3.1 yards after catch per reception. That's dead last in the NFL. And what's the most surprising part about that is that they led the NFL in that category every single season, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. They always led the league in yards after catch or yards after catch per reception. And now they're dead last. I mean, that doesn't that kind of make you go, what's going on? Ayuk does.
I don't know what Debo was like 10 yards after the catch per reception. Debo averaged 8.8 yards per catch after the reception last year. To this year, he's averaging 4.2. I mean, maybe there is something, like, maybe Debo's getting old. They can't do the things he used to do.
Well, and then, you know, you drafted a guy who's really small in the fourth round, but guess what? He's got 4.3 speed. And John Lynch, you know what's really weird is John Lynch went on KMBR on Friday morning and said, yeah, I really think we're going to see more Jacob Cowing. So I'm down there. I'm driving in. I'm like, oh, okay, I have a note to myself. You know, I talked to Shanahan. I'll ask him about Cowing. I asked him about Cowing. He's like, I don't know. We'll have to see if he plays more.
Today, and then was asked about it today, right? And
today, he was like, sounded like there's issues. Doesn't it sound like there's issues? Ready, play. Yeah, like.
So what's the disconnect? Why did the general manager go on record and say, yeah, I think Cowie's going to be out there? And Kyle's like, nope, not ready. Clearly a disconnect.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could say that's not a disconnect. John made it seem like Cowing was on the verge of playing. Shanahan has made it now seem in back-to-back pressers like the kid's not getting on the field anytime soon. So
kind of feels like Cowing is Lynch's guy. You know, that's the guy. Like, Pearsall, clearly Kyle's guy, first-round pick. And then the front office was like, okay, we like Pearsall, but we're going to take another wide receiver. Just in case. And he's good. And Kyle's like, yeah, he's not ready. And they did the same thing with Jordan Mason. He drafted Ty Davis Price. They took Jordan Mason. And he found reasons for 2 years not to put Jordan Mason on the field and then had to. And then he went crazy. Same thing with Juwan Jennings. Like, that wasn't your guy. It was some seventh round pick that the front office found. Then all of a sudden, like, out of sheer necessity, you start him one time and he goes for 175 and 3 touchdowns. McFly.
I mean, first of all, let's give it up to Jennings. I mean, Jennings is, I mean, I don't even know how to describe Jennings. He's just flat out a baller. He's just one of those guys that if you put money on the table, this guy rises to the occasion. But Grant, before we get to these supers, we got a bunch of supers here and we'll get to our Bet US. What is in your mind as we sit here 3 games in? What is the biggest issue? I mean, now there's a freaking ton of them, right? The O-line, the receiver separation, the DBs are getting toasted. There's not enough pressure up front. Linebackers can't cover. I mean, there's a ton of them. But if I say to you primary, what is the primary issue? What would you say it is?
My question is Kyle losing this team? Is Kyle losing this team? Because it's not just that they lost the last 2 games. They got outworked in the last 2 games. The Rams played harder than they did. The Vikings played harder than they did. Like, their culture is a big reason that they won those games that they shouldn't have. And it's like, is the issue the defense? Yeah. Is the issue the injuries? I don't know. Most of the injuries are on offense, and the Niners have been good without Christian McCaffrey. They've been running the ball without him. They've been throwing the ball without Debo and Kittle. To me, it's like, is this team going to collapse after you know what feels like 2014 Niners? that year, where it's like they're good.
Is that the last year of Harbaugh?
The last Harbaugh year. It's like they're good, but you can kind of feel them tuning out their coach. They're kind of tired of him, and they don't have the same belief in him that they had the three previous years because they went to the mountaintop three times and didn't get over the hump. And you could feel it. And like they would have, they started with the win. They had two losses. They won three games. They lost two games. Like they just kept going back and forth and ended up 8-8. This is how the team feels to me right now. Maybe when these guys come back and get healthy, they'll go on a run. But does it seem like Christian's coming back anytime? Does it seem like Greenlaw's coming back anytime soon? It seems like a team that's going to be in the middle. And that to me is underperforming. And that to me is a question. Like, is Kyle in year 8 finally starting to lose the belief and trust and of his team?
It's an interesting question. I don't think that's the case because I haven't seen any evidence of it. But to me, what I think is the big problem is that Dre Greenlaw is a great player that only has been recognized as a very good player. And in reality, the Niners lost an all-pro linebacker, not just a linebacker. And even though he hasn't been given all-pro status, we all know that he's been an all-pro type player. And they're just an absolute, I mean, my friend Nicholas McGee from London, who's a big Niner fan, says linebacker is an absolute black hole without Greenlaw. And to me, Grant, that is the issue because they asked so much and of Warner and Greenlaw to be just run everything on that second level. And those guys just played at such a ridiculous high level. Now you have no Greenlaw. You're not nearly as good against the run. So, you know, that just, so you can't get quarterbacks pinned down.
I agree. Greenlaw's an issue. He's a great player. Biggest issue on the team.
Greenlaw's absence
is the biggest issue. It's not Sorensen. So. It's not the special teams. Once he comes back, they're good.
Well, okay. Let's do you think it's more of the scheme or the personnel? And I think it's more the personnel. Devondre Campbell gave up that on that short touchdown. He gave up that play. He also gave up the big reception late. He can't cover. And you had an all-pro type player. You replaced him with Devondre Campbell. Devondre Campbell is nothing compared to Greenlaw. He's not the run defender. He's not the pass defender. And I just
What about Tre'Davious Ward? Tre'Davious Ward was like a top three corner in the league last year with Wilkes here. Now he's given up touchdowns in back-to-back games to Jalen Naylor and not a touchdown to Tutu Atwell, but a 50-yard catch. Now he is a little banged up. Maybe that's going into it, but it seems like the secondary's worse. They're giving up more big plays. The pass rush is worse. Like, yeah, Drake Greenlaw is gonna help the run defense, but I think the whole defense is bad. Yeah. And I don't know that Drake Greenlaw is gonna fix that.
But you took a great player away. I mean, he's truly great for sure. So he's not in there. This secondary's got a lot of young DBs, and they're talented, and they've got, you know, all of them have different degrees of potential. But if you don't have any rush up front, those guys are gonna get toasted. And they haven't had enough rush up front, and there's no speed on the back end. Like, Jefferson ran right on by. Tutu Atwell ran right on by. You could see the way that Stafford threw those deep balls. I mean, Shanahan said it today when he was asked about the game. He's like, they got three balls for 150 or whatever, 130 on us. Two of them were PIs. One of them was a completion. But, yeah, they're getting beat by the verticals because they're slow. They are really slow on the back end. So it covers up if you have enough pass rush up front, but they clearly don't. So their slow DBs are getting absolutely roasted on the back end, and their slow wide receivers can't get open. And the fast guys, Terrace Marshall and Cowan, can't even get on the field. So, I mean, they've got all these sacred cows and all. Like, the Niners, you have to explain, like, why everybody's where they're at instead of just being able to say, well, the best players play. No, because after a while, it's like, that's Kyle's guy, that's John's guy, this guy's playing because of Bobby T, that guy's not playing because of Bobby T. All these excuses. Put the best players on the field. I don't think Campbell's the best player. I don't think Yottam's the best player. Yottam has given up 5 catches yesterday on 5 targets. That's no pushback. Campbell gave up 3 catches on 3 targets.
Fruit. It's bigger than Isaac Yottam and Devondre Campbell. It's Nick Bosa, man. It's $34 million a year for a guy who's not making nearly enough of an impact.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And it's effort and all that stuff. Like, to me, this is a question of, why is this defense underperforming? Why is this team underperforming so drastically? It's not one or two players. It's across the board. And really, like, here's like, how many players would you say are truly hungry on this team right now? I could list them. It's Brock. It's Juwan. It's Jordan. It's Fred Warner. And then everyone else after that, hard to say. Maybe Lenore. I'll give Lenore in that one. But like, you know,
there's like probably a handful of guys that are really
young,
really
guys
hungry.
to a degree, but like there's very few of them left. And there are so many guys on this team. And it's like, well, you kind of mailed it in today. Maybe next week you'll do better.
I mean, Ayuk is a shell of what he was. He just doesn't even look like the same guy at all.
At least he's on the field, though, as opposed to Debo, Kittle, and McCaffrey.
Yeah. But I mean, those guys are not on the field now, probably because Ayuk wasn't ready to be on the field early. And then they had to take Debo especially had to take more than his share of abuse because Ayuk held out all summer. And then all of a sudden he gets over abused.
If they didn't have Juwan and Jordan Mason, they'd be 0-3.
No question. I mean, Juwan is their best receiver. And I don't want to hear about these other guys because, you know, they played in the Super Bowl. Like, if you step up in the Super Bowl, that's a major thing. And now he's stepping up when nobody else is there. He stepped up huge in the Super Bowl. We know he's not the fastest guy, but, man, he is a money player.
He plays with so much confidence.
But everybody's covering everybody. That's the other thing that bothers me about this team right now. Everybody's being covered by everybody. I asked Brendel, had a horrendous week. I asked Forrester about it, and it's like, oh, there's seven reasons. Well, I can write a book about why Brendel's my best option. Okay, you write your book. But you know what? Yeah. He still graded out worst. 34th, Chris, among centers. Last I checked, it's 32 teams in the league. So all 31 other centers, plus a couple other guys, the backups, all higher graded than Jake? And you're going to tell me there's like nine reasons why he's the best guy you got? I mean, that's depressing to me to hear that.
It's depressing to me. Yeah, I think that's...
I mean, that's
depressing. What it is.
All right, let's... I mean,
if he's right, then that's...
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Terrible. And yeah. My guess is he's right.
Oh,
but
I'm
at
sure
the same
right.
time, what is the track record of this team? They don't seem to know who their best players are consistently. Like, you really thought Ronnie Bell was better than Chris Conley? Like, he objectively isn't. And I think that he's not better than Jacob Cowing either. You thought Elijah Mitchell was better than Jordan Mason? You were wrong. Like, you thought Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance were better than Brock Purdy? You were wrong. Like, over and over and over again, maybe give someone a look, see what happens.
Well, I mean, Grant, it's even more than that. I mean, it's unbelievable. I made this list. They went with Ronnie Bell. They could have gone with Terrace Marshall. They went with Isaiah Oliver. They should have gone with DeSean Jameson last year. You know, they went with Devondre Campbell. In my opinion, they should have gone with Jalen Graham over either Campbell or Flanagan Fowles. They went with Yotam over Womack. They went with Chase Lucas over Womack. You know, I don't know. You know, I mean, now granted, Chase Lucas on the practice squad and Womack didn't clear waivers. I mean, I get it. They went with Patrick Taylor over Cody Schrader. I don't know. I just think some of the decisions have not, I don't know. They're not the decisions I would have made. I would never have gone with Oliver over Jameson. Just watching last summer, Oliver couldn't stay with anybody. And Jameson was in everybody's hip pocket all summer.
Let's talk about Yotam right now. Yotam needs to get benched. And the question is, like, who do you play? Now, the thing with Renardo Green, people saw it. As soon as he came in the game, he got called for a holding penalty. That's his. I don't know if Green's the answer. He commits a lot of penalties. But I would be interested in Rock Ya-Sin. He's the other veteran that the Niners brought in. He's had some good years. I believe he tore his Achilles. I could be wrong, but he's back. And I thought he had a better. I'm like, Yotam was out all of preseason. He was hurt. I've never been impressed with him. I'd like to see Rock. He has a track record, and he couldn't be worse.
I'd like to see Renardo. I mean, you got to have a corner who's this is the NFL in 2024. There's all kinds of guys in this league that run 4-2, 4-3. 4-4 receivers are as common as anything in the league. You got to have some corners that match
also,
up.
Also, Luter's
got.
I want to see. Trust the Niners coaches when it comes to young players. Like, you say he's not ready. I don't believe you. I want to see him. You got a bad veteran ahead of him. I want to see the young guy. I don't trust you. Your track record is awful.
I want to.
Jennings in his fifth year. His fifth year in the league. That's how long it took for them to figure this out. Nah, it's unacceptable.
There's more than a couple spots that I'd like to see the younger player play. But yeah,
19 catches last year, Larry, and 11 last night. Ridiculous.
Juwan is a money player, and there was money on the table, and he rises to the occasion. All right, before we get to these supers, let's go to BetUS and take a look at, of course, BetUS. Are you looking for a new book this football season? BetUS is the answer. All you got to do with BetUS, you get the fastest payouts in the industry, easy withdrawals, live wagering in all major games. Plus, you get 10% back in your net losses twice a year. On top of that, you also get your own personal account manager. Head over to BetUS.com today. Use that promo code YouTube150. And you'll get 150% sign-up bonus on your first deposit and 125% sign-up bonus on your next two deposits up to $2,000. Again, sign up at BetUS.com. Use the code YouTube150 either on my side or on Grant's side to claim that offer. All right, let's get to NFL Week 3, which wraps up tonight with a couple Monday night games. We got Washington-Cincinnati at 5:15 going off in less than an hour. Commanders on the road against the Bengals. It's Bengals -7.5.
Bengals are 0-2.
45.5.
Bengals are 0-2.
Bengals are 0-2. They're at home.
Let me tell you right now. There's no freaking way they're losing to the Commanders. There's no way the Commanders are making the Bengals 0-3. Not going to happen. So, what's the spread?
7.5. You want to go money line or you want to go Bengals?
Oh, damn. Well,
that half is a pain, isn't it?
7.5? I don't know about that.
That seems like a lot. In
yeah,
the
I
NFL.
Think they're gonna. Washington is terrible. Yeah, Cincinnati.
You like high? Okay, let's go Cincinnati. Okay, we'll go Cincinnati there. And then we also have another game here. Wait, where's the other one? Wait, we'll wager. I will go with 20. We'll risk 20. There we go. Oh, wait a second. Okay, hold on, 20. There we go. Okay. 20 to win 21. Now, how about the other game tonight? There's another game tonight. Is there not? Or is that game already underway? Maybe that game's already underway, huh?
Let me see.
Yeah, that game's probably.
Yeah, they just started.
Yeah.
The Jaguars Bills. Already. Yeah.
So let's take a look. Let's go back for a second and take a look at the Niners. The Niners spread in week 4. What do you think? About potentially Niners in week 4. I mean, the Patriots, it's a home game. Let's see what
Should the Niners win? Yes. Did they just lose to a team that was missing 7 starters? Yes. So you can't like take anything for granted. The Patriots have a good defense. They beat the Bengals. So yeah, that was Niners should absolutely like dominate this game, obviously. But like, could they lose to the Patriots? Yes.
We
don't even know if Brock Purdy could be like in a body cast right now. We don't know. They said he has back soreness. Well, we'll find out what that means. He could be traveling to Germany soon himself.
Seriously. but head over to BetUS.com today. Use that promo code YouTube150. Get 150% sign-up bonus on your first deposit and 125% sign-up bonus on your next two deposits up to $2,000. Again, sign up at BetUS.com. Use the code YouTube150 to claim that offer. All right, let's hit some supers here. Matt McEwen says, time for overreacting question. 49ers finished with a top 10 pick. Do they go quarterback? Oh, now he's, I feel like he's trolling me. What do you think, Grant? If the Niners wind up with bad year, do they go quarterback? Carson Beck is probably going to be the first pick in the draft. There's Dion's kid. There's Quinn Ewers. My favorite guy is Cam Ward from Miami. Would you go quarterback in round one if they got a top 10 pick?
Probably not. Probably not. But we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, Brock Purdy could have a back that's fractured in 18 places. They say it's sore right now. But I've been actually, my respect for him has grown. And I would like to, if I had to pick one person to build around long term, Kyle or Brock, choose one, I would choose Brock.
You'd choose Brock over Kyle?
Yeah, I would. I would. I feel like you could trade Kyle next year if he doesn't get it done, if he shows that he has a limit, and go hire Ben Johnson. There, he's a different type of offensive coordinator. I think he does a much better job with the drop back passing game, which I think is the next evolution for the Niners offense. If you don't have a real quarterback, yeah, then you should be majoring in running and play action. If your quarterback is Jimmy Garoppolo or Sam Darnold, but if you have a legit franchise quarterback, you need to be able to just line up in the shotgun, rock and throw. And that's never going to be Kyle Shanahan's offense. So that'd be something I'd be interested in. But Brock has to prove that he can do it. And so far, he has been proving it.
He's got a 137.1 passer rating yesterday. Ninth highest passer rating in a loss, by the way, since 2020.
Now, keep in mind, Kyler put up like a 150-something the previous week against the same. It's a terrible defense. Terrible defense.
No question.
But
no
Brock
question,
still is a really good quarterback.
You know, it is a bad defense, which kind of makes the Niners' struggles, you know, a little bit more perplexing. But defensively, the Niners really just caved in at the end. Bazzi Mianza, sit Brock against the Patriots. No reason to rush him back in week four game that day-to-day soreness. Think long-term, make sure he's healthy. Well, they're not going to put him out there if he's not healthy. But can the Niners beat anybody with Dobbs or Allen? I would say no.
No. And what's interesting is look at the Packers right now. Jordan Love goes down. You think, oh, they're screwed. No, they have Malik Willis. And they have a whole different offense from Malik Willis. And it's good. They've practiced it. It's creative. It doesn't really look like anyone else's zone read offense. Like, way to go, Matt LaFleur. That's how it's freaking done. And he's like, oh, the Niners have to survive with Dobbs or Allen. Yikes. I don't know. I don't know if they can win with that. No.
Green Bay last week ran the ball 53 times.
Hell yeah. That's how you do it with a backup quarterback. Hell
that's
yeah.
What they did.
Yeah.
And guess what? They're going to get
the quarterback. And he only ran it six times.
If I was in Vegas right now, I'd bet on Green Bay. I would, because their defense is playing well. They got a lot of young receivers, and their quarterback's going to get healthy. And
they use Willis the right way. He doesn't run too much. He mostly hands off, but there's always the threat of him running, and there's always the threat of a wide receiver coming around. There's so many things going on. It's such a fun offense to watch. I love it. And I love the renaissance of running the ball in the NFL this year. It's like teams are going to play too high every single snap. We're going to run the hell out of the ball. Like, yes, it's about time.
A lot of people, I think you were one of them, saying that you'd like to have seen Trey Lance utilized the way that Green Bay has utilized Malik Willis.
Because I felt like Trey Lance was like,
people, sure,
you run the ball 20 times or you pass the ball 30 times. It's like, no, man, he should just hand off. The threat
run
of
the ball.
Him.
Run the ball, ask the quarterback to do very little. Of course, then
that's what you
did
in the NFC Championship game with Jimmy Garoppolo. It works. Like, why would you do anything? Anyway, it's old moves. Old
they're
moves.
Doing but, it yeah. with Willis, it's and they're winning games. They won on the road in Tennessee this weekend, and they won big. Yeah. Baby Radiant says, we should trade for Dexter Lawrence. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure
give him an extension. Jed, Denise, you want to do that?
I mean, after watching Dexter Lawrence and then watching what the Niners have done by comparison, yeah, I'd take Dexter Lawrence in a heartbeat. 100 about JH, but he did lead all defensive tackles and pressures this week. Okay.
Hargrave. He did, buddy.
He did. Double B Studio, member for 36 months. Brock's back hurts from carrying Kyle's banana hands.
Whew.
Omar Rio Padre says, for the long-term overall grit of this team, would it have been better to barely come out with a W yesterday or the loss that we suffered? Well, that's interesting. I mean,
right. Like if they win that game, they don't learn the lesson. They just think that they can cruise. Maybe they needed the loss. You could argue that, But
Bosa was like, hey, man, let's take this to heart.
Division loss?
Oof. Yeah. I mean, it was bad. It was a bad loss. Matt McEwen says Kyle is losing the locker room or has.
It's just a weak effort.
Double B Studio. Kyle's a play caller OC, not a head coach or a GM. Matt McEwen. Campbell was over correction for Kendricks.
They wanted Michael Kendricks Eric Kendricks.
Eric Kendricks. Yeah, and they lost out. I didn't like the idea of either. You had Azeez Al-Shaair a couple years ago. Jose Quezada. Yeah, like
one more thing. So Curtis Robinson looked good in training camp. He looked good in preseason. Do they give him an opportunity? No. Like, for all we know, he's a really good linebacker who's been here for like 2 or 3 years and never gets an opportunity. And when they finally play him, it's like, oh yeah, it makes sense, because when they do give him, every time we've seen him, he's played well. So, but they just said he wasn't ready. Like, let's see Curtis Robinson.
Well, here, I get the feeling too. It's like, once you spend a nickel of Jed's money, you sure as hell, that guy sure as hell better play. And if that guy doesn't play, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, there's people in the hallway that are like, Lynch blew.
What's up with Yottam?
Cash. Yeah.
We paid for Yottam. We paid for Campbell. Yeah. Well, it's a meritocracy. And just pretend you're paying for Curtis Robinson. Okay. Like you pretend you spent three first round picks on Brock Purdy. Do that.
Well, also, I mean, Lynch and Shanahan picked the whole roster. So how about this? Just accumulate the roster through the draft, through trades, through free agency, and then let them fight it out. And if you're, to me, it seems like they have the Niner depth chart has to be explained from within. And that's not good. You should always be able to say, oh, you know what? The best players play. Do the best players play? Is Devondre Campbell the best player? Is Jake Brendel the best player? Are some of the guys out there the best players? Ronnie Bell the best player they got? No, none of those guys are the best player, but they're all playing. And that, I think, is at the core an issue. Jordan says,
hold on, you missed that last one. You missed that last one.
Did I?
Yeah.
I think Jennings was worth the $30 million a year, if you ask me. Yeah.
I disagree. And I think the thing that we're learning, like, yeah, wide receivers are important, but there's a lot of good ones. It's not hard to find good wide receivers. Tutu Atwell is good. They just had him. Juwan Jennings is incredible. The Niners have had him for 5 years, and they're paying him $8 million a year. Quarterbacks you pay because they're hard to find good ones. Wide receivers are not hard to find good ones. And it's tough to say that Brandon Ayuk is that much better than all the other ones when he's having a pretty mediocre at best year right now. 10 yeah, yards.
I don't think Jennings is worth the $30 million a year, no. But I think what the point is that Jennings is the money receiver.
Hell yeah. Totally.
And that's the point, I think, is that he is the money receiver. Now, he's not going to get that money, and we all know there are reasons for that, but he's the money
receiver. What Rashee Rice is to the Chiefs, Jennings could be that to the 49ers. Same role, same target share.
Yeah. Jennings is just a very reliable guy. I mean, old school Niner fans remember Mike Wilson. I mean, nobody really knew anything about Mike Wilson, but man, he could run a 12 yard out, catch it, get his feet down and get a first down.
He's as worthy of having 100 targets in a season as anyone on this team.
The only question is, you know, can he separate? And he doesn't separate. Yes. So they need to see Jennings would be awesome on like the, if Jennings would be an unstoppable force of nature on the Dolphins. If you put him opposite Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and they had all the speed out there and this guy could just move the chains, it would be incredible. But you got to have
averaging 15 receivers. Yards a catch this year, even though he's slow. I don't want to undersell Juwan Jennings. He's having a hell of a year. He's in phenomenal shape.
The guy's tough as hell, too.
That catch he made over the guy's back yesterday was one of the best catches I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Incredible.
That's just incredible. One of those.
We were in the press box. We were like, no way. He didn't do that. Like, it was, we all like wanted to give him a standing ovation just on sheer effort.
Did he? And I don't know if you watched the Giants earlier that day, but Malik Nabers made the same catch. And Malik Nabers is awesome. And Jennings is too. Jordan Steers says CMC, Trent, BA, Lynch work together to ruin the year.
Wow. That's really.
They're diabolical. Whew. Matt McEwen says CMC to the doctor. Can you help? 999. There we go. I get it. Double B Studio. CMC was like, don't touch me with those skate blade hockey instruments. I need a real medical staff. Raphael.
Hey, can we just say that they lost that Ben Peterson guy who went to the Atlanta Hawks and all of a sudden everything falls apart? Damn, Ben Peterson. I take it all back. Please come back.
Ben Peterson, who knew? Raphael Flores, Ayuk looking like 2014 Crabtree.
That guy was coming off an Achilles tear.
Let's see. We got Blood Moon in the house. Grant, let's not get it twisted. You're in your dad. You're in your dad.
You and your dad talked that Bobby Turner saying no.
Talked about that Bobby Turner saying no, and Kyle trusted Bobby for a reason on Mason. Kyle did not throw BT under the bus.
Who's BT?
BT. I don't know. I have to think it over.
Who's BT?
Who's BT?
I've never. BT. Okay, I'll think about that one. All right, Bled.
We'll think of him. We need to decipher. Roberto Davis, does Kyle have the balls with a Z to replace Sorensen? Oh, not only does he have the balls to do it, I think that, you know, if the defense continues to struggle, it will happen. I mean, they have a second defensive coordinator that's sitting right there. It's not like, I wonder if who they would go to. Yeah, I think we have a pretty good idea who they would
hold go on. Go back to the last one. He was talking about Bobby Turner. I'm sorry. Go back to the last one real quick.
Blood Moon. Grant, let's not get it twisted. You and your dad talked that Bobby Turner saying no, and Kyle trusted Bobby for a reason. And on Mason, Kyle did not throw Bobby Turner under the bus.
All right. Well,
there we go.
I don't know. Sure, I give Bobby Turner credit, but it's like, I mean, he's been every time. Look. If they didn't think Mason was ready to play, I just don't really buy it. If they didn't think Mason was ready to play, they wouldn't have played him at all. If his lack of knowledge of the assignments were that big of an issue, they wouldn't have played him at all. They did play him sometimes the last few years. Whenever they played him, he balled out. And it took injuries to two people for him to get his real shot. So, sure, I love you, Bobby Turner. And I understand, like, coaching a guy hard, but I also understand getting the best players on the field. It's not a written exam. It's sports. And you don't play the guys who test the best because otherwise you'd play all the guys in their 30s. You got to find a way to get the best players on the field. That's part of coaching, too.
The only thing I would say is that Mason himself, now, granted, he's got to say the right things at the school to get by the teacher. But he did say, hey, man, I needed to grow up.
Hold on.
So he owned it to some degree.
Last year, what happened this year happened last year. Let's say Christian went down last year and Mitchell went down last year and Mason was just the next guy up. They would have found a way to make it work like they're doing now. Yeah. And it would have worked because he's a baller. So they can say whatever reasons they want to say. But when forced to figure out a solution, they figured it out. They worked it out with Jordan Mason and they would have worked it out last year. Even though he wasn't he didn't have his P's and Q's. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say.
Well, no, but I mean, there's certain areas Mason's way better this year. Like, you can kind of tell. He's a way better receiver with better catch radius. He's like,
maybe he's got a better feel for his blocking assignments.
$3,000 on the
that's a big investment.
It was a big investment, but it was probably
a tax write-off, though.
Probably smart. It is a tax write-off. Which sometimes I remember when I'm out and about, I get tax write-off. Zachary Kellaway says the 49er window will always be open as long as Kyle Shanahan is the coach. He's always made these mid rosters look good.
Well, we'll see. That theory will be put to the test this year.
Wave 9. Jimmy was laughing at Kyle on the sidelines. I never saw Jimmy. Did they show Jimmy?
Apparently he was laughing at Kyle on the sidelines. Apparently they show him. I don't know.
Zachary Kellaway, strength of our D in past years was that Kyle Shanahan controlled possession and kept him fresh. Take 54 off this defense, and they would look like a college D. The Niners have actually, I think coming into week 3, led the NFL with 36 minutes and 11 seconds of average time of possession. So they had dominated the time of possession.
The defense was Kyle Shanahan and the offense controlling time of possession. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. That helped.
And there's only there are some select examples of that, but it was hardly like a week to week thing. They did not win time of possession every single week, and they definitely didn't win it decisively. I'll tell you that. Keith Murphy says from the Unbeaten, he says LB was a clear strength last year, linebacker top two in the league. Now a very clear weakness. Yeah, I mean, they had the best linebackers, and now they don't.
Robinson.
I agree. I want to see Curtis Robinson. I want to see Cowing. I want to see Terrace Marshall. I want to see,
Nugent.
I want to see Womack over.
Who you want to see at center? Barcher or Nugent or Ezekiel?
I'll give Forster his thing that Brendel is the best option there. But right now, like 5 weeks from now, I want to see Nugent. I want to see Nugent later in the year because I'm the one thing. And here's the one thing with Chris, I love Chris and he's a good guy, but like He's like, you know, Brendel was a Pro Bowl alternate last year. No, he wasn't. He was a Pro Bowl alternate 2 years ago. And then Chris, in the same answer that he told us that Brendel was a Pro Bowl alternate last year, he told us, you know, these things change year to year. So, I mean, it's like you have him as a Pro Bowler last year, and Pro Football Focus graded him as one of the lowest graded centers in football last year. So, you know, let's get our years straight and figure out if this guy's, if it's milk that's gone past its due date and time for a replacement, or if he still has something. Chris is a big believer in Brendel, right? It's pretty clear.
I guess. Just feels like he's someone that advocated for Brendel in the past and got Brendel paid, and now he's married to Brendel.
Does seem very connected to Brendel. Yeah. Verzi says, I'm getting 2014 vibes this year. Rebuild time. Well, Grant, you had the source early in the year that said that if things don't go well, heads will roll. So are we looking at, in your mind, are we looking at 2014 replayed out in 2024, a decade later?
I do think so. And a lot of people are like, oh, what are you going to get rid of Kyle? So what are you going to bring back Chip Kelly? Like, no. No, this is Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings and Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. Like, this is a team that a lot of coaches would want to coach. You could have your pick of whoever the top coaching candidate is. If it's Ben Johnson on the Lions, you could get that guy. There's a lot of season left, and he hasn't missed the playoffs yet. He might miss the playoffs. He might win the Super Bowl. We'll see.
If he
doesn't win the Super Bowl, but if he misses the playoffs. If he misses the playoffs, I mean, that would be a big one too. That would be, I mean, that's just what I heard. We'll see.
Missing the playoffs,
it seems like everything's playing out like that.
I do think missing the playoffs would kind of rip up whatever script there was. To me, I don't know about the Super Bowl, but losing the playoffs for sure. Not making the playoffs would be a crusher, especially because when you factor in all the money that's attached to that. VZ says, I'm getting 2014 vibes this year. Rebuild time. Too much sauce says, what
do you think Denise York is happy right about paying Brandon Ayuk all that money when he's struggling? Juwan Jennings is going crazy, and it's clear that they didn't have to do this.
I'm not happy paying Brandon Ayuk all this money. I'm sure she's not. As far as which Niners would you bench right now, I would bench Yadam and Campbell for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely cut Ronnie Bell. And I
bench Debo too. Or Ayuk, one of the two. Like Jennings is starting now. One of those two guys is now the number one, three wide receiver.
God, whoever.
Debo's not a wide receiver. He's a wide back.
Could you imagine the reaction of the ownership? If you think that the ownership was somehow not happy with Kyle and John's spending ways, if somehow in the next month, Ayuk,
he's now our number three receiver. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Just pretend you're spending that money. You're paying it to Juwan. Just pretend.
That would be unfreaking believable.
Yeah.
L. Kurtz says you should send Bell to work at Pig in a Pickle. You know what? They can't. That barbecue's expensive. You drop a brisket, that's a lot of money. I wouldn't.
Brisket in California. Whew.
Yeah. Come on, Ronnie. And that's the other thing too.
Juwan is an it guy.
Stop protecting your draft picks. I realized Terrace Marshall was a street free agent that Carolina invested in and you just grabbed for nothing. And Ronnie Bell is a guy that you and your scouts said, we think we see something there. Who gives a fuck now? It's later. It's down the road. Play the best guys. Terrace Marshall is bigger, faster, more experienced, stronger, and younger. He needs to play. He's got better ability to separate. He's in your locker room right now. Enough protecting your picks. I get it. We all want to give the picks a chance to flourish, but it's been a couple of years. Ronnie Bell is a redundant part. If you don't catch the ball and you're a receiver, you don't receive as a receiver, you're nothing.
And again, it's not which player knows your playbook the best. It's which player is the best. And I think Kyle sometimes gets those confused. Like Ronnie Bell probably knows the offense better than Jacob Cowing, but that doesn't make him better than Jacob Cowing. And whatever Jacob knows, that's a good coach works with that. So he can get the best players on the field, not the smartest ones. I'm not even calling Bell smarter than Cowing. It's just a guy who's been in the class longer.
Well, and it's like, this isn't frosh football. These guys are right. Pros.
Thank you. Right?
If you want to protect freshmen and not put them on the varsity so they don't get beat up, that's one thing. These guys are pros. Put your best players on the field.
I mean, like, isn't that how Eddie would be, like how Al Davis would be? Like, hold on. We've had this player on the team for 2 years and you didn't put him on the field because he wasn't passing tests in meetings. Like, are you kidding me? Get him on. I mean, your job is to get the best players on the field.
I mean, if Sorensen was the Niners defensive backfield coach in 1981, would he have started three rookies
Super Bowl? You. And that's what Bill did. That's what Bill did.
Would he be going with street free agent veterans, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait a second. We skip that. Okay. We got that one. Well, this one. I skipped this one. At least can tell Gronk we found our it guy. 15.
Yeah,
seriously.
Played like one yesterday, man.
What'd you think of that, by the way? Gronk, who's been there, done it, said the Niners don't have an it guy. I mean, that was a slap at Kittle. That was a slap.
I agreed with him. And then when Jennings asserted himself like that yesterday, it's like, oh, yeah, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Freaking 12 targets. Let's not mess around. And frankly, I think you could have justified giving him 15, 20. He was that. You know what Purdy's quarterback rating was targeting Jennings yesterday? 158.3. Like, what are we? Don't stop messing around. This is the guy. Anyway, like, remember 20 years ago that game when Terrell Owens had 20 targets, 20 catches?
I think the Niners found two it guys. Purdy's an it guy and JJ's an it guy.
I agree.
We got this one from Sean O'Leary. Strong 2020 season vibes. Coming down the home stretch here. Zachary Kelway. Andy Reid, first head coach. Job was 99. Didn't win a Super Bowl until 2020. Kyle Shanahan started coaching 2017. So let's shut the fuck up on Kyle criticism. Give Kyle until 2037.
The Eagles didn't do that. They got a new coach, won a Super Bowl, and then Andy Reid had to go somewhere else. I'm just saying.
Chris Bedall says so many strong safeties play one at linebacker. They need more speed at linebacker. I mean, they absolutely have
Sean Shepard.
More speed. Sean Shepard. I am Grant and Larry's quality control. Hey, Grant, how you been? Anyway, Debo runs the offense. It's still built around him. Ayuk is not that guy ever. Compare his college to Jennings. He is our homegrown Anquan. Jennings is. I like that.
Jennings is Anquan.
Robert Baldacci, deuces. L. Kurtz, deuces. It's almost like they should have won it last year.
Oh,
God, don't bring that up. All day, every day. Kim, 49ers are softer than used baby Pampers. Good imagery. Jacob, if Brock goes down with an injury because of a shit O-line, someone should lose their job because it wasn't a riddle that this team needed an O-line. Amen to that. Thank you. Wave 9, Grant must have forgot how good Elijah Mitchell is.
Is? Was.
John Kalua, this season feels like Jim Harbaugh's 2014 final year with the Niners. Michael McCann, I feel like Kyle lost the locker room after the last Super Bowl loss. Players holding out. CMC knew he wasn't 100% yet. He held out. Call Bill Belichick before Dallas does. Oh, that's it.
Ben Johnson.
He wants you, Ben Johnson. Sean Shepard, I sense you would shoot me down, Grant. Remember our friend Jeremy and where I knew him from. Hiya, anyway. No, not Debo. I challenge you to look at the stats of wins when Debo is gone or hurt. I think the Niners have lost their last four without Debo.
That is
Sean Shepard. We ran into the same issue last year, and it's every year Debo was hurt or gone. It's Kyle's design that fails, a tight end at receiver that can't catch Debo, and he was gone, and we lost. I am disappointed you have missed the Debo design flaw.
Well, thank you very much. Now that you gave me 50 bucks and then 20 before that, I see it. I have just seen the light. Sean, thank you very much. I got it.
And Darn Harvey says JJ was getting free releases versus linebackers and safeties.
Now we're downplaying a guy who went for 175 and three touchdowns.
JJ.
Okay. All right. Sure.
All right. That's going to do it for us. Grant, great stuff. We'll both be down there tomorrow covering this thing from start to finish. It's never boring. It's never dull. There always will be something to talk about. And we'll see you down there.
Not tomorrow. Wednesday.
Wednesday. That's right. Players' day off tomorrow. Players' day off tomorrow.
Our day off, too. We never take days off. Are you kidding?
No days off. Ever. There you go. I'm going to go watch some football. Have a good night, man. Peace.
Good night.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful, you won't get exactly what you asked.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes.
In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at ohiovoterguide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.